Clem Bicknell and Dave Bicknell. Welcome.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you for giving up some of your Sunday morning for us. Whereabouts are you guys? Are you in the Yarra Valley or where do we find you?
Both at home and freshly out of bed. We had our end of vintage do yesterday with my team. That was a reasonable sort of lunch. I think they finished about 10 o'clock last night, so nice and fresh this morning. And I don't know where Clem was last night. She only came home this morning, so...
I don't think the world needs to know that, Dave. Sure, she
was. So, yes, we're both at home.
Excellent.
Looks like a beautiful sunny morning in the Yarra Valley. Anyway, I was lucky enough to get to know Clem over the last, how many weeks, Clem? Six?
Start of Feb.
Yeah. So Sarah Fagan, the winemaker at Tarawarra, put together a very select crew for vintage, and Clem was a major part of that. So apart from the fact that you drive a forklift like a speed demon and you don't eat pork and your family dog eats everything in sight, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because you come from, you know, you have a surname that people recognise in with the Australian wine industry. And we'll get to Dave Bicknell in a minute, but I want to know about Clem.
Well, there's not much, you know, just still pretty close out of high school. So, you know, just working to get money to travel. I really like travelling.
Has Dad lined you up some vintage work overseas when you're travelling?
We've talked about it.
Yeah. It'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I've definitely got a bit of options to look into for that for this year. So, yeah.
Yeah. So with wine, what is your relationship with wine? Because I know that we've had a few discussions with you and Pat and Sophie at the winery about alcohol and, you know, kids sort of 19, 20, 25 years of age really looking at the options and their lifestyles and what's important to them. So what is your relationship with wine?
Well, I feel like because, you know, I've grown up with it so much in my life that, I don't know, it's just a part of it. Like, you think about other people maybe my age just coming out of school and, you know, when you start like drinking and wine's not really a 18-year-old's first choice. But I don't know, it always has been for me and, you know, I really love it. It's fantastic. I love wine. And, and I think I've managed to get my friends into it a bit more as well with that. And, yeah, it's good.
And I know that you've been working vintage as a job to earn money to travel, but can you see it as part of your life going forward? Or
I think it's definitely probably a big main option in my life. I definitely think that I could go into doing that. At the moment, I'm pretty happy, like just, you know, working, traveling. You know, I really enjoy doing vintage. I like that little period of time during the year where you just work and you meet people and you learn things. And I really love that. So I enjoy doing that at the moment. But I, you know, I definitely think I could go into studying it should it be something maybe in a couple of years' time I'm still really into.
Well, and I wouldn't worry too much, Clem, because so many times on this program we speak to, you know, a third generation of a family who's been in wine, you know, thoroughly and they've tried to resist, but actually they often do get dragged back into the industry. And you would have seen that too, Dave, with people you've met.
Yeah, definitely happens all the time. And it's been really interesting because in my my sort of coterie group, we're starting to see more and more of it. Matt Harrop with his boy Jai. Jai's, you know, really immersed in the whole thing now. And Steve Pannell, with his son, who you know really had no interest up until a few years ago, and is now totally immersed in the whole thing and is just loving it. And I think there's just a switch one day that really gets flicked.
Yeah.
And they turn onto it, and they go headlong into it. I mean, in the meantime, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, if Clem's just having fun.
Yeah, and can't see the world, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's great.
What a beautiful way to see the world, I think. Clem, I'm interested, like, say one of your friends wanted to get involved in the wine industry, what would you say?
I actually spend a lot of time trying to encourage my friends to do it. a lot of them work at Oakridge in the restaurant and or Salador there. Right out after we finished school, we all went and just kind of got into it, and that's how they kind of got more into wine. And I think it's just a great thing to do. It's so fun, and anyone can do it. Like, it's, you know, it's not the hardest, like going into a vintage, and you know, you have in that, I don't know what it's like in other places, but in the Yarra Valley you have so many winemakers that are so willing to teach, and they can teach you so much, and so definitely great spot to start.
Yeah. And is it the winemaking that you're curious about, or is it more the vineyard, do you think, or the fruit?
I'm probably more into the winemaking side. I have done a little bit of work in vineyards, which I do love. But I do really love being in the cellar and, you know, that area.
Yeah.
Well, Clem, it certainly worked with one of your mates anyway. Asher said to me last night, so one of Clem's old schoolmates, he worked vintage with us. And he asked me last night if he could come back and work next vintage as well. So I think it does. It's an exciting time during vintage with, you know, lots of different people from different places. And I think it does. There's a level of excitement during vintage. And I often say to people that, you know, vintage is actually the only bit of the wine industry I like. The rest of it's all crap. It's all about selling wine. and it is, because it's like the adrenaline pump is going in vintage, and you're busy the whole time, and you know everyone, you know, really mucks in and gets on with it, and it's good fun, you know, you meet a lot of different people, and I think that's just part of the excitement of vintage. And when young people experience that in a good place as well, and I know, you know, Clem's been working in a good place, and you know, you do. You want to keep on going and doing it and come back.
Yeah, yep. And hopefully learn that, yeah, unfortunately it's for a period of time, and then it's just plain, yeah, hard work and slog. So, and, yeah, selling wine, which is really important. So, and takes a lot of skill. No. So that leads us a little bit to Dave. Now, I've known you for quite a few years, and my experiences with you have always, I sort of walk away and I go, God, that guy, he's just got it all together. And, you know, winemaking is also taxing on your body. And I know that you played a lot of football, but what gets Dave Bicknell out of bed in the morning? Apart from wine, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, Clem, if anyone could have seen the visuals there, Clem's just pointing at himself. Get out of bed for her in the morning. Oh, and that's you know, that's partially true. What is the drive? You know, crack all sorts of jokes. I only get up so I can take pills so I can keep going. You know, that's what it feels like some mornings. But it's the pursuit of pursuit of high quality wine, and it's really hard to, you know, put my finger on it. It's because, you know, I don't believe in this idea of you know, perfection. But with every wine that we make, you know, I look back at it and I think, you know, how could we have done better? What can we do to improve things? And so it's this this crazy kind of carrot in front of a, you know, stupid old donkey like me that I know I can never catch, but I'm addicted to trying to make it better and try and catch it. And you know, years ago, I remember at some awards thing, and there was a winemaker who won some big award, and I won't name who it was, but he got up and he said, "Oh, I can't imagine making a better wine." And I thought, "Wow, you're dead, man. It's all over for you."
Yeah.
Because you can't even imagine
what that a quick there would way be to lose the passion, right?
Yeah, and it's just, and at that point, I just thought, I'm never gonna sit back and perhaps I don't enjoy when we do well. I don't enjoy it enough, and never really celebrate it because I'm convinced that there's something better and we can do better, and I want to do better. So that just drives me every day.
Yeah. And is there anything else that I know that you enjoy golf. What else is there to Dave Bicknell? What's your purpose in life?
I hate golf.
No.
what a way to ruin a good walk, hey?
Yeah.
I love sport, and I've always loved that competitive thing. You know, I love sport and all codes of football and music as well. You know, I grew up with a whole group of guys who played in bands, and my brother, older brother as well, all of his friends were in bands. And so we, you know, when we were teenagers, we just used to go and see music the whole time. You know, from when I was, you know, sort of 14 or 15, it was like several nights a week going out and seeing bands play in Melbourne, and you name any of the great independent bands of the 80s, and you know, I would have seen them loads and loads of times whenever they toured, and we still do that. There's a whole group of us here of winemakers, Hawley and Flammo and co, and you know, we go and see bands like whenever we can. We just, you know, we love live music, and there's a bit of a men's shed out here as well with a whole group of guys who you know, we get together and cook food and play music and try and carry on like we're teenagers again.
That's important. That's great. And yeah. So what's the genre of music at Oak Ridge?
Well, this year it's been a little bit different. But, you know, I'm really into, I guess, a lot of independent ambient music, you know, whether it's sort of classical or you know, guitar based. So there's a lot of that from my side. You know, a lot of stuff from the 80s and 90s, you know, New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen, etc. That whole genre. You know, bands like Mogwai and Godspeed, you know, it's a very eclectic mix. But this vintage has been quite different since Victoria's been with us in the cellar as well. It's become very Sister Sledge, which you know, is all right once in a while, but before every day in vintage, she gets a bit much.
Yeah. So you've had conversations about that?
Oh yeah, yeah. You have to take control of the music system.
Exactly. I think we've had a little bit of that at Tarawarra, but not too much. I've been quite impressed. Apart from when they put the speaker right next to my office, and anyway, but that's all good. It's important. No, music.
I have to do the same thing. I have to shut the door to the winery and you know, just concentrate sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, just sometimes. Yeah. I was sort of alluding to it before that, you know, David, you always, I don't know, just there's this confidence around you, and I know there's so much to you, but has there ever been any monumental failures in your life where you've gone, wow, how did that happen, and what have you learned from that?
Yeah, loads of monumental failures.
That's encouraging to hear.
It's a life based on failure, I think. Mm. And that's part of the desire to really get better at everything I do. And I mean, I was terrible at school. I got into a lot of trouble and went to a lot of different schools, and I failed year 12, and I did things like I left school before that when I was in year 10 for a while, and And I was on the dole for like 6 months when I was a teenager, and it was just utterly depressing and hopeless, and you know, and I took jobs like down at the docks, and you know, I'd have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get on public transport to, you know, to go to the other side of Melbourne to do just really mundane, boring jobs and not get paid much at all, and it was really quite depressing. And so you know, I had to sort of swallow a lot of pride and go back home, and then I, you know, went back to school and I did night school, and I really didn't know what I was going to do at all, and I had, you know, no real idea, and winemaking wasn't even on the horizon. And you know, and I actually studied nursing, and I nursed for 6 years before I got into wine. So and saw lots of really, you know, lots of really brutal, horrible parts of, you know, humanity working in public health. But I guess that sort of taught me a lot of things, and it taught me a lot about life as well. I mean, it's a bit heavy for a Sunday morning, but once you understand a bit more about death, life is an awful lot easier.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate all sorts of other things in life. Yeah. And it was through nursing, through somebody I worked with who, and we still keep in touch, and he lives up in outside of Albury. And he said, you know, and we used to go, I was bought wine because we used to drink wine at home. You know, my father was a wine drinker. And we used to buy wine. He said, oh, you know, there's this, you can actually go and study winemaking. And I just couldn't even conceive that at that point. But it was like, wow, I think I'm going to go and do that. I had no idea about it. So just threw myself into it and, you know, never, ever kind of looked back.
Fantastic.
And
was that at Rosemary, yeah, Dave, or where was that then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they wouldn't even accept me at Wagga, which is hilarious. I mean, you know, I've got letters that I've kept from when I first started trying to find work. Rejection letters from people that I like to dig out every now and again.
I hope you remember them.
Well, one person I have reminded a couple of times about that.
Excellent.
But again, that, you know, the rejection is something you can never take personally. And if you really want to pursue these things, you keep at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I'm any great intellect at all, but I've got a work ethic, and I've hopefully that's, you know, something that Clem's got, seems to have. And Angus has got it. My son, he's actually just left, first time we've seen him in months. You know, but he's got that work ethic as well, and that takes you a long way in life when you are able to just keep on getting up every day and chip away at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your honesty. yeah, I love learning about people and just what makes them tick, and you know, their values and their experience in life is who they are today. So thank you.
Yeah, I think, but Sam, I think that's, you know, lots of people in lots of walks of life, but particularly in the wine industry, you know, that people move around from different wineries and different regions, and, you know, have experiences where they, you know, to the point we made before, you know, Glenn might go and do some vintage work overseas in Germany or in France, or, you know, and the people you meet, and it's this fabric of your life that comes to the job of winemaking and crafting a bottle of wine out of a bunch of grapes hanging on a, basically a weed that's being hung up by a string in wire, you know, like it's, there's all of that, and the passion that goes into it is all, you know, because of rejection and because of the different things you've seen, I reckon, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the fact that it can be represented in a glass or a bottle of wine is to me what, yeah, makes us all very, very lucky. But
yeah, just the confidence thing, Sam. There's a lot of sliding doors here as well. You know, I worked in France in '94, and at the end of it, they actually offered me a job, and they said, you know, do you want to stay and work here? And And I didn't, because I didn't have the confidence at all at that point in my winemaking career, that I didn't think I knew enough to be able to do that. Mm. And there's a real kind of what if there. What if I'd stayed?
Yeah.
What if I'd stayed in Burgundy in 94? Where would I be, and what would I have done? And what would I have achieved? And I'm not sure I would have achieved much or anything.
Yeah, you would have had a good time, though.
But what you probably wouldn't have achieved is what you have done, you know? And that's the thing.
Well, that's it. And again, off that, that's one of the things that's really driven me here is you know, trying to make, you know, really authentic, high-quality Australian wine. You know, that we're coming from so far back in the field, and, you know, I guess a lot of us have felt we've never been taken that seriously, what we do in this country. And we probably, you know, and again, we get obsessed with what, you know, the old world seems to do with their wines and their wines. And, I mean, the reality is what we're doing here now is really quite special and fantastic. And, you know, and I've really wanted to be part of that as well, that, you know, to say we can do these things.
Yeah, yeah. And I just love the mentorship that you offer, whether it be at Oak Ridge or just, you know, the Wine Yarra Valley cohort. But, and obviously with your own children. And Clem, you know, do you feel the pressure to actually become, you know, something in the wine industry, or at this stage you're just, you know, really happy to experience life and to be exposed to those sliding door moments that could, you know, lead to something?
Yeah, look, there always does feel like a little bit of pressure. Mm. But I talk about it with mum and dad all the time, and they don't care what I do as long as I'm doing what I want to be doing, and I'm happy doing it. And so, you know, the pressure will probably always be there a little bit, but, you know, I'm riding the wave of what's going at the moment and I'm enjoying it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so good to say.
Well, what I thought was hilarious the other week, Clem said, "Oh, I've got all these people online who keep on contacting me, asking me for advice." and that's kind of, I guess that's part of the unwanted pressure, and I'm extremely sorry about that, Clem. It's my fault.
None of it was intended. It's interesting. I think, you know, it could be described as pressure, but it also is what a beautiful and fantastic opportunity to talk to your dad on a daily basis about something you both love. And I think, you know, we're pretty, I was the same. My dad was in the wine industry. That's how I got exposed to it, and it was such a natural thing for me to do. But it brought me closer to my father, and, yeah, I was very, very lucky and fortunate. So,
yeah, well, I don't know what I'm going to do when Clem goes overseas in a couple of weeks' time.
I know.
It's going to be awesome.
No one to talk to.
I'll have to go on holidays and go over as well.
Yeah, I think so.
How long are you going away for, Clem? How long's the travel?
So far I've got a plan till about August, so I leave at the end of this month, and the last of my plans end in August. And I'm looking at maybe going in and doing a vintage in Europe somewhere. If not, I'll come home. There's always work here.
Yeah, there's pruning to do, isn't there, Dave?
Well, we'll be finished by August. But there is always work to do. There's, it's non-stop.
Yeah.
We're also after young people to come and work with us as well across all of our sites.
Mm. Yeah. Great opportunity for anyone out there.
Dave, you might have heard the tail end of our discussion with Mike Benny around zero and low alcohol wines. Is there anything on the horizon that you're able to release about whether there's a zero Oak Ridge wine coming or a zero Ovata sparkling or something?
Thankfully, no.
Right. Sam's giving you the thumbs up.
We did have a bit of a go, and it was a bit of a company challenge that was put out a few years ago to make Piquette.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously a bit of a recycled lower alcohol, sort of beverage, and that's a bit of fun. But I guess in terms of the whole Oakridge thing, we're very, I guess, traditional in many ways, the way we make wine. And so it's not really something on our horizon. However, within the company, it's a massive thing, and there's a lot of work going into trying to get that. And I know Mike would have spoken about this, about the texture and flavour, so that the wines actually have a sense of harmony about them as well. And I think that's one of those things that is often missing from low and zero alcohol products is, a real sort of balance and harmony and texture about them. And that's the difficult part to get right, because wine in particular always seems to be lesser when you take something out.
Yeah.
All about the balance.
And also, alcohol is sort of, and the beer guys talk about it, it's where they hang their flavour. So you take that out and you've got to find other things to hang the flavour on, right?
That's right, yeah.
So... Yeah. Oh well, that answers that question then. But it's an interesting thing to follow. I feel and to understand a little bit. So,
I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving up fun. Your Sunday you. Morning and having a chat. And Clem, I know, it probably wasn't the first thing you ever thought of doing is speaking on the radio. But you're a great kid. You've got lots of energy. I can see so many traits from your parents, and watch out. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, way back in the day, Sam, we were on a bit of a family road trip, and we were out in Western New South Wales somewhere, and I think Clem must have been about, how old were you, 6 or 7, something like that. And
I don't know what this story's going to be yet.
And we were driving along, and we were somewhere near Parks or Forbes out in Western New South Wales, and Angus was down the back of the car, and he chimed in, piped up and said, "Oh, when I grow up, this is where I'm going to work." And so what are you talking about? He would have been 8 or 9 at the time. He said, "Oh, I'm going to farm here, some animals and cropping as well." And it's like, "Oh yeah, righto, sure thing, mate." And Zara, younger, she said, "Oh, when I'm going to go to Oxford University and be Scottish."
Be Scottish.
And Clem just sat there quietly and said, "Well, what are you going to do, Clem?" And she just said, "Oh, I don't know. I'll probably just go and work with Dad."
Oh, it's not such a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah, not such a bad thing. And you know what they say about, you don't have favourites with your kids? That's total crap.
Exactly. It's like your favourite wine, the same thing.
And is Zara reading law at Oxford, or if that's what you're...
No. But no, she isn't. She's taking a gap year, and she's working in the local bookshop and talking about travelling as well. So, And the boy, well, he's an hour away. He's up near Gundagai, farming on 8,000 acres up there. So. Sometimes it comes true.
Yeah. Well, got to have the dream, don't you? Dream big.
You got to have it. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for sharing some Bicknell family stories and thoughts. Beautiful. Yeah. Enjoy your afternoon in the valley, and hopefully the sun stays out, and it's probably a sparkling, middle of the day, and have a look at something else later.
Oh, maybe. I think there's a bit of grass cutting to be done first, though. Right.
Gotta love the mowing.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, it'll be growing, all right, with all this rain we've had. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Sam.